Gusongpo and welcome to the panel. Today, my guest on the show is the Secretary of the Ministry of Information and Communications. Welcome to the show, Lat Ajakenyai.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in and for wanting to talk about media in Bhutan, Natasha.
Okay.
Ash, let's begin with the recent backlash. You're saying it's the hottest topic on everybody's lips, actually, nowadays, which is the media backlash against the government, especially regarding the advertising policy. Now, you must not be a very happy MOIC secretary, then, in this light.
No, I'm a very interested MOIC secretary.
Nice.
I don't know about backlash, but, you know, what is coming across is my off-the-cuff response to it would be, it's about sustainability. I mean, that's the word we hear. Yeah. It's a little ironic. I mean, having been a journalism student, in most countries, most societies, government is the last place media would go for funding and for support and for help. Yeah, because, in fact, that has different its own implications. But in Bhutan, well, Bhutan is unique. We're different. And the government has also made a commitment to support media. And the government is supporting media in the sense that, our ministry, for example, you know, all the fiber optic cables that we are laying, almost a billion neutrums, you know, to all the districts, Geogs, that's infrastructure for media. The, you know, waiver of tax on computers, printing equipment and all that. So that's support. But more important, education. You know, I think really professional media can come only with professionals, not with penalties and laws and all. And in terms of now trying to start a journalism course in Sherabji and then trainings, you know, practical training for, we need a lot of training. It's a new industry. So that's where, well, we do have a limited budget, but that's where all the support is going. So in that sense, there is government support.
But when you speak of sustainability, then, of course, the question again arises that, yes, the government is doing so and so. We're going to be educating future journalists. But how do we sustain these future journalists? Because what's happened so far is a lot of the print houses are planning on closing down because they do not have enough money. And you yourself have pointed out that Bhutan is a unique country in a unique situation where a majority of the money comes in from government advertisements. So if we are educating future journalists, for what market are we educating them then?
I think that brings up two or three issues. Okay, one is you're talking about how many newspapers, radio stations, TV stations, and social media and all that should or does the government need to support? And the other issue is advertising, right? So since we were talking about sustainability, if I talk about advertising, you know, this is a bit of a distorted impression that's gone out, coming out today, emerging. Advertising is meant for the people. I repeat this so many times the government messages, ads, are meant for the people. And it has to reach the people. Advertising funds, we talked about government support separately, but advertising funds are not meant to support media. It's, the examples, the kind of examples that I've used many times, because I've seen them in the media, whether it's scholarships for students or, you know, animal diseases for the herders, fertilizers for farmers, these have to reach the people. These are not to sustain a few newspapers or media as a whole. So they should go in media that will reach that section of society. You know, otherwise, it's like misusing the funds. These are government funds meant for the people. So I think we have to be very clear about that. You know, and here, because what I hear in the debate is that I need ad to survive. I need, you know, then how about the person who needs the message? And what's also happening is, from what I noticed, our newspapers are louder than other media. I think radio is completely neglected. Radio is the media that reaches all Bhutanese citizens in all corners of the country, and we don't discuss that. And the other thing is, one immediate answer to your question would be, what are we talking about when we talk about sustaining media? How many newspapers, how many radio stations, how many TV stations? The country is going through, as it is going through, financial difficulties. And, it's a difficult question to answer, but if I was to attempt it, I'd say we should have, at least three newspapers to have a balance, at least, two, three radio stations and a couple of TV stations to have this balance. That's what our society needs.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you, it's interesting that you point out that our society needs such a balance. But of course, right now we have only one broadcasting channel, which is the Bhutan Broadcasting Service. There are a lot of papers, therefore they are allowed. I mean, we do not have as many radio channels as we do newspapers. And also when you talk about TV stations, there is a need for more TV stations to come in. Yeah. And people want to know why that the licensing has been delayed so far. Would you be privy to that? What is your standpoint on this?
Not privy, but first of all, when you say one station, we do have four or five radio stations already.
Yes.
I think our next step should be, but these are all entertainment. You know, next step should be to develop them, also help develop them into news stations so that they can provide news and programs, and then people have a choice. Same thing with television. I think we do, BBS would, actually it would be good for BBS to have a good competitor, a professional competitor. But what my immediate view would be, TV, radio not so much, but television broadcast, it's expensive because of the equipment and all that. And, well, I hope there will be a good professional station or two in the near future.
What people are saying is there has been pressure from the government on Bigma actually to delay this. Would you say that there is truth in that, La?
The government means who? I mean, you're talking about the... Now, when we talk about government, immediately there's the executive layer, there's the bureaucracy.
Yes, I think people are pointing at the cabinet.
I think there is concern that media is being politicized. Okay, that's my understanding. You know, and we don't want politicized media. We want professional media.
I think that is really the concern. Like,
oh, yes, I would definitely. I think what's happening is we've lost journalism in the scramble for media. Okay, and even in the papers, radio stations, TV stations, we want to see journalism that objective, professional reporting. Okay, and this is a risk, I know, because it's happening in many countries, including our close neighbors, that when if politicians or even business houses own media for their own interests, we have a problem, because then society is kind of left out. So I would be maybe sounding a little idealistic, but this is what I would really like to see. You know, media for the sake of media. Media that respects journalists. Media houses have more respect for journalism than just sheer profit. And this is a small society. Media is not the most profitable. And it's expensive. You know, so that's what I would really like to see. And I would be concerned because we have a small pool of journalists here. You know, as it is, the number of papers and radio stations are all complaining about the limited number of trained journalists.
That's true, love. But then you can see why there's this mad scramble also in a way, like you also pointed out already, we are living in a really small country with an even smaller market, that is. So you can obviously see the compromise happening between media and journalism because of such a situation.
Yeah, inevitable, but we have to try and do something about it. And one of the reasons for the scramble is the election coming up.
Yes, love.
Okay, so why? I think the last time, the impact of ECB, ECB and ECB's ads, resulted in some proliferation, but I think from a commercial standpoint, now is probably going to be a mix of commercial interests and political interests. You know, media coming in to support and promote political parties and all that. So that, many societies accept that, and if it could even be healthy, depending. But in our situation, we're probably not mature enough to handle it in that extent, because what we would then need is a literate society, a media literate society, particularly. You know, critical thinking, people can make decisions.
We are not there yet. Would you say we do have people who are media literate here in the country?
We do have a handful, but we are not there yet at all. I mean, societies like the US, you know, the US, they're completely or quite media illiterate when it comes to this, because bombarded by, you know, commercial and other interests. Our literacy rate itself is, not quite there yet, but media literacy is much lower. You know, critical thinking, how many Bhutanese pick up a newspaper and read it and say, okay, what does this journalist really mean? What's this person aiming at? Or watch TV, BBS, or even radio and say, okay, what's this guy up to, or what's the real message there? That kind of critical thinking, that takes time, I think. It might take a generation.
Does that come naturally? You need to make an effort.
No. This it comes mostly under pressure, I think. You know, the advertising, this advertising market, the advertising culture is so sophisticated. Most of us don't know what's happening to us. You know, they're shaping our entire thinking, and we're not you know, we're not aware of it. Children are particularly vulnerable. You know? So I think these are very important issues that needs to come up together. Thing, you know, when it's conventional wisdom also that media is a reflection of society. You know, when you look at media, we are looking at ourselves.
Mm. It must be interesting for you to observe then, if you stand by what you say, that right now, if media is a reflection of society, then we're quite a disgruntled lot at the moment. Very unhappy.
Yes. But I think superficial, short-term. We have to go through these sometimes little hysterical moments when, you know, allegations shooting back and forth and all that. But I would try and look a little long-term. You know, I'm with a media background, with this responsibility in the ministry, you know, I'm walking around with a vision, what I think is a good vision in my head. And, you know, at the moment it's being hijacked. All the time and space is being hijacked by day-to-day issues.
Yes. You
know? Whereas...
We'll get to the vision now. Let me hijack a few minutes before we get to your vision as well, Latasho. Because people, I mean, journalists who have worked with you hold you in high regard, actually. And then you became the secretary of the MOIC.
Yes.
And I think quite a few of them now actually feel a little betrayed by you in the position you are in and what's happening, especially to private media here in the country.
Yeah. Yes, I'm not surprised at all. I would be surprised if it didn't happen. You know, in fact, with my own sense of humor, when I moved, I told my friends, goodbye, I'm going to the other side. You know? But the whole idea is, look at the bigger picture. You know, in a small society, we have to play multiple roles. Now, what I would honestly ask myself, or what I did ask myself is, okay, who better than someone with a media background to think of media policy, to think of media vision, you know, long-term, again. That's what I would keep insisting. And I go through frustrations too. I look at media and said, I would have done it this way. Mm-hmm. You know? But it's good to have critics. I have no problem at all with critics, provided it's well-intended and provided it's professionally. Yes. Criticism is
well, the main criticism is the fact that you know the relationship between the government and the media. Now, it's almost adversarial. We're against each other, whether we like it or not. And then they see you as the bridge, the person who can actually sort of foster a more mutually respectful relationship between the government and the media. And the criticism comes from the fact that maybe they think you failed in doing that, Latasho.
Hmm. If that is expected of me, I would say that's very complimentary, you know, to me. I disagree totally. There's what you talk about, the adversarial situation. No, that's very superficial. It's one or two stories here, one or two stories there. We can't generalize that all media is against government, all governments against media. You know, what I think is that in terms of media, our media people are new to media and media situations. Government is new to media. This is the first time we are handling this, you know, open debate. In the past, debate has been rumors and gossip and some oral, but now it's coming out into the open. You know, nothing has really changed, but it's now in writing largely because of the electronic media, you know, internet, social media that allows this. Okay, and I don't think. Well, it seems like it might seem. In a short perspective, it might seem as it's adversarial. It's not. And also, we need to be careful that what I would think is that government need to look at media and media reports, you know, in a more long-term, with a long-term view also, not reactive. Media should not fool itself into being an opposition or being, you know, I must be confrontational, otherwise I'm not media. No, I think media, and especially in Bhutanese society, should come with a sense of humor, with more insight, in-depth professional reporting. And I'll tell you, what is probably like to happen is that through all this, one of the papers, one radio station, one TV station, whatever, matures and starts providing very credible, very rational, very, you know, analyzed news and reporting. You'd see a big change. Everyone, they'll gain a lot of respect. Mm-hmm. But right now, I think we are influenced by our region. We are influenced by a world media, which has its own influences, you know, the corporate interests and all that. So we're being carried away, I think, at the moment.
And then, of course, now we must bring in your vision as well. The way we are functioning right now, there are problems with it. I can see from the way that you're answering that we are not there. And I think some of us also do believe mm-hmm. that there's a long way for us mm-hmm. To go before we get where we want to get, Latasho. Your vision, though, what is it like? I want to know, because I want to see if it's what we have in mind
you,
as well.
You're saying we're not there. That's right, we're not there. We don't expect to be there. This is just we're talking about a few years, you know, of a media experience. It's going to be a while before we get there, wherever there is.
What's your vision? Would mean, are we getting there?
Okay, that would mean you know, a more mature, you know, better trained journalists, a more mature media, more mature society before we get there. What I think is right now, more than any other country, more than any other society, we have a chance to be again different. Okay, we need to dare to be different, and the difference should be now we claim to be a GNA society. You know, we are a GNA society. We survive on a GNA vision. You know, the question should be, if you talk about us as media, like if I'm media now, what's my responsibility? You know, I need not be like Indian media. I don't want to be like Indian media or Nepalese media or American media or whatever. What should Bhutanese media be? You know, functioning in such a society, what should the responsibility be? You know, and I think it's at this stage, it's well, being fairly new, democracy being fairly you know, new experience for us, the educative role, for example, and the discourse. You know, not to as a journalist, I'm not here to oppose anyone, to attack anyone, to prove anyone, or to support anyone, promote anyone. You know, my job would be, what are the issues we're facing? You know, what are the real issues we need to think about? I know, at the risk of sounding a little idealistic, I think, but that's really, if we don't do that, we are lost from the beginning. Issues like, even if you talk about media now, the rupee crunch. And what we've been hearing is media saying, oh, now we're going to die and we're going to close down, etc. It's all about media. How about the builders? How about the traders? How about the, you know, all the different industries? Are they going to suffer? Thousands of people are going to suffer from the downturn, you know, from the reduced budget. Let's hear about those. You know, that's what we need to know about. That's what we need to hear about.
So you're saying, in short, then Bhutanese media currently is being a little irresponsible and selfish.
Understandably, I think. It would be unrealistic to expect, you know, Sydney Morning Herald or New York Times or BBC here after, you know, 3-4 years of democracy, okay, of parliamentary democracy. But we have to start somewhere. I'm not pessimistic. I haven't lost hope. I think it's too early to lose hope. In fact, if anyone can, Bhutan can. You know, just as if you talk, we're a small country with big dreams. You know, we've a lot of things to be done there, even GNH and all the thinking, discourse and all that. Same, media is no different.
But then the problem here is the media feels that the government should be more supportive, specifically financially, because of the situation that we're in right now, and especially because we want to work towards a good democracy, and media see themselves as being very... playing a strong role, I almost use powerful, which would be wrong, a very definitive role in the journey towards a really good democracy, that is. And they feel that they're failing in that journey because the government itself is being a barrier to media.
That's the media interpretation you're talking about.
Yes.
I would say yes.
Media, well, consumers of media as well, Bhutanese people, ordinary Bhutanese people.
I would say yes, government should support media, like government has supported almost every industry, you know, and then corporatized and then privatized. Okay, same with media, because it's a small society, market is small. Yes, the question is, how should government support media? And that's my whole point. Okay, media saying, okay, no, we need ads. If media make a little investment to start with, reach the people those government messages are meant for, media should come and demand from the government, said, hey, I'm there in Sakhtan, I'm there in Yangtze. Okay, my brother's newspaper, radio, whatever it is. You know, this message, and let me take this message to the people. Not sit in Thimphu and say, oh, you know, yeah, I need the ads, and the government not giving me ads, and, you know, that tone.
No.
Who do you think, you know, this advertising guideline, if I may talk a little bit, we've drafted a guideline which I think is quite professional. You know, the guideline is not a policy. it's a guideline for government advertisers to understand, you know, what's the purpose of advertising, how to advertise, where to advertise. Okay, those are the instructions. It's the media that stopped it. You know, 2 years ago, media went to government and said, please don't issue advertisement guidelines.
But you speak of the media, who are you speaking of then?
Oh, a whole team of people went openly in the open forum when they had meet the press with the government.
Yes,
they submitted that. And since then, they've criticized MOIC, they've criticized DOIM all for bringing in a guideline.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all the guideline says is, okay, that this is the purpose of advertising. This is specific advertising, not general media support.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the purpose. If you don't reach your, okay, specific examples, that scholarship by Indian government, 50 scholarships for university students,
yes, sir,
went into a media that covered 4 or 5 districts. How about class 12 graduates in 16 other districts who didn't get to see it? Or the ad for a new fertilizer, which went in Kinsale or one of the newspapers, which the farmers don't read.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening here? You know, so I think that perspective we have to keep in mind. Yes, the government must support media to whatever extent possible, but not with the wrong budget, not with the wrong budget head or whatever.
Yes. No, I mean, all is fine. I mean, I have read the advertising guideline, which is available on the MOIC website, that is. And I didn't really see a problem with it until I came down to how the advertisement is going to be given, and especially because of what happened to the Bhutanese. That is why there is a lot of anger, resentment, and suspicion, actually, in the media because of this certain act, the letter that was sent to the Bhutanese saying that Bhutanese got hold of, saying that no advertisements will be given to the Bhutanese. Yeah. In inverted commas. And it's also decided, there is a clause in the advertising guideline that says that, you know, government agencies shall make a public announcement of any decision to withdraw or withhold advertisements, providing the justification for the decision. Mm-hmm. The justification, I mean, of course, it was a personal thing. I believe Lamsung himself came to me and said that he had already spoken with the ministry about it when he got hold of the letter. But then the justification now, too little, too late.
No, you're talking about the specific
incidents with the Bhutanese. Withholding of advertisements, actually.
Okay. We have to look at this in the, the letter. There's been comments from our minister and our AFD head and all that. So there's been a lot of discussion on that. What we need to look at is the advertisement guideline. Now, you read one clause.
Yes,
but read the other clause, which says, government officials should not withhold advertising from any media.
That I've read,
Yes. Because if media is not all professional also.
Yes.
If there's media that targets government or refuses to, you know, make correction, the corrigendum and all that, outlines or explains certain conditions under which an advertiser can withhold advertising. But that decision has to be made by a media council or court, not government officials. And this clause is there to protect the media. You know, because we know all over government officials, you don't generalize government as a whole, but there may be officials who might, say, if being criticized, might decide, okay, I'll deprive a particular media of news or whatever. But there's such a clause is there to protect.
So if this advertising guideline had been endorsed earlier, if the media themselves had not gone and blocked it, then actually the Bhutanese might have come out of it in a better way, actually, instead of grappling right now.
The Bhutanese wasn't there then. But what would have probably happened, and that's what I thought should have happened, is that with the ads, professionally distributed, we would not have this proliferation. We would not have. Right now, we have 12 newspapers, 6 radio stations. Who said we need so many? You know, it's a sudden explosion.
Mm-hmm.
If ads were going into media that reached the right audience, we wouldn't have had so many. Newspapers, radio stations, all the private stations and all that. I don't know how many we would have had, but it would probably have been a more professional scenario, I would say.
Well, what do you say of the statement that the government is trying to clamp down on media that's been critical and doing investigative journalism, Benla?
Media will always say that. Okay, media will always say that. What I would say, yes, media is necessary. Criticism, constructive professional criticism is very, very healthy. Investigative journalism, that's a respected form of journalism, if done professionally. So that's there. And then there would also be, I wouldn't say government, but there would be government officials who also wouldn't like that. You know, people, I mean, not all government officials are straight, honest and professional, etc. So there would be some who are covering certain information and all that, and that needs to come out for the sake of the public. But the approach should be, I think a journalist's approach should be, what do my readers, what do my listeners, viewers need to know for Bhutan to move forward? You know, I think that should be the guiding principle for journalists. You know, that way then you decide on stories. I would say, I would go after issues, look at issues, analyze issues, not necessarily personalities, for or against. You know, what are the issues that are important to us? What are the issues that we need to understand? You know, so, I mean, that is, to me, that would be a healthy approach.
Yes, sir. We'll be coming to that, but before... speaking some more on that, actually. Before that, I thought I would put in a little interjection, actually, from Jix News. You have told me that you know Jix News on Twitter, and Jix News wanted me to ask you this question, which I said will take you by surprise a little bit. Be prepared for it. Jix News wants to know what your thoughts are on being the MOIC secretary, the former Quincel MD, shareholder of Quincel, and also the fact that your wife owns Bhutan Center for Media and Democracy. Is there a conflict of interest?
Oh, no, not at all. When I changed my job, now, I don't want to talk too much about myself because I don't think that's relevant to the broader audience, but you asked the question. When I changed jobs, I was wondering how schizophrenic would I get? You know, where would the balance be? Then I decided I don't change as a person. You know, whether when I was Quincel MD, when information secretary, I haven't changed. And happily, those who do know me have noticed that I haven't changed. And to be honest, the government job is a term. Apart from the government's 5-year term, I would think it's a short term, and I would like to be myself. I would like to be in the media. You know, so that's in that picture. We don't have long to. If I'm lucky, I'll have 10, 15 years to work. You know, that's a short time. So I think we need to, with that perspective, you know, we need to understand what we're doing. Quincel shares and all. I think that was, to me, that was a bit of a pathetic excuse by, you know, to support the allegation that I'm trying to kill private media and all that. My shares are for sale. I mean, I even offered a discount if journalists wanted to buy it. I mean, I think journalists of all the people know that if you want to buy shares in any company, you won't go for run for Quincel shares. There are a lot of other more lucrative shares. I mean, but that's besides the point. BCMD. BCMD's work, not so much media, it's media and democracy. Oh, we need that so badly, meaning not so much BCMD, but I'm talking about the discourse that we
on
need
media
to have.
And democracy.
Healthy discourse. What is public space? What is civil society? What is role of civil society? You know, what is democracy? What is the difference between culture of democracy and election? Because democracy is failing in many countries, many countries in our region. Why? Because they haven't understood democracy. They think you have an election, you've got democracy, you know, without really building the culture. And I'm not involved with BCMD work, but from what I see as the essence, when they talk about, say, Bhutanese people are not thinking enough, meaning you need to think, debate, discourse. You know, that will actually hone, that will refine our thinking. We're not doing enough of that. And what you call a confrontation right now, that might be the healthiest thing that's happening. You know, why not? Why not? Disagree. That's what democracy is all about. So if you take that perspective, approach, we're beginning to do quite well.
Yes.
Let's see some more fights.
Oh, one last final question. Then let's see some more fights. But then sometimes the fighters, if they happen to come from a background that does not mean being in the government, are actually quite vulnerable, Latasha. How do you protect the fighters? Specifically the media,
because
we've had to play the role of the opposition, being such a minority as well. We didn't really decide that we wanted to be the opposition. And I'm speaking we because we've done that sometimes as well. So we've had to be the opposition. Yeah. So how do we get protection?
I don't think Bhutanese journalists are at risk at all in any sense, in any form. You know, we live in a world where journalists are shot and hanged and imprisoned and pressured in so many different ways. In Bhutan, I mean, look at the tone of some of our news stories. You know, I think we're being quite critical, more critical than many countries. Okay, and I'm not a person, position to guarantee, but I don't see any journalists at any risk. In fact, you know, I think this debate that's taking place, not to be confrontational, rude, and you know what? Mark Tully, when he came here, he said at the end, you know, he's looked at Bhutanese media, and basically he said he was talking about GNH, but he said one message for journalists. He said, be humble. The story is not about you; it's about the people. You know, don't let this little bit of education make you arrogant. You know, you're a reporter. You're doing a service. And the story is not about you. The story is about the people. It's about society. You know, I'm not saying that that's something which I've been able to do, but it's something that struck me. That's been for me an important message, and I think that's what we need to be. And that, you know, that for media, the story is not about us. You know, it's about a small country with big dreams.
And on that note, I would like to say thank you for coming in and being very honest, actually, and not evading any of my questions, Dasho. Thank you so much. I'm thinking that we will be meeting each other again, maybe on one of my programs again.
I hope so. Yeah.
Thank you, Dasho. And we do thank you for watching the panel. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. Do get in touch with me. Thank you.